superheroes. I'm excited. They have worked very hard. So when you see Shelly and Glenn and whoever else is involved, you just tell them thank you that you did that and I didn't have to. Something like that. Let's go ahead and have a little glass of drink here. My granddad, when he preached, he used to say he wouldn't put water up here because he said people would think that his sermons are so dry they'd have to wash them down. But I'm not my granddad, and you're fortunate that because I would be Billy Sunday, man. He was crazy. That guy could do it. Okay, so today, last week we talked about the different covenants and stuff. Here's what's so funny to me. Not funny, haha. Well, it is funny, haha, to me actually. So, for those of you that know me, you know that I am a firm believer in grace, and that grace is not a doctrine; that it's Jesus. But for whatever reason, people are funny because they think that I'm like on the grace patrol, you know, like I'm going to police, like I'm the grace police. So I got to make sure. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a story about my wife here. So it's Wednesday, she's fixing to teach, and she comes up to me, she says, I just want you to know I'm going to talk about sin tonight. And of course, I was just shocked. And here's the irony. Here's the irony in all this for me. People, some folks that are in my life get extremely aggravated at what I teach, though it's very clear in the Word what I teach. I don't get angry at them. I kind of look like it when the disciples went up to Jesus and said, dude, these other guys are talking about you. Should we call fire down from heaven and consume them? And Jesus is like, wait a minute, dude. If they're talking about me, that's, you know, I think we're going to be okay. So I'm really not the grace police. But I just, the reason I wanted to share that story is she really didn't. Which led me to really help you understand this thing that we're, this covenant that we're in, this New Testament covenant. So because what happened was, now she started out, you know, going to talk, which by the way, I'm giving you every one of the Ten Commandments today. Be proud. Be proud. I'm gonna hammer you with them. But what's so fun for me is she started out and she's talking about the world and how sin is and stuff. But because of who she is, and I don't even know that she recognizes this, today she will because of the teaching, I believe. She actually accidentally slipped into the new covenant expectations. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There were several covenants in the Word. Again, covenant is the word contract. There were several contracts that God made with His people throughout the years that we've all been alive, beginning with Adam and Eve, and there's their part. Any contract, there's terms and conditions for both parties. Do you get what I'm saying? So I get so worn out with being accused of me just saying there's no part in this New Testament contract. That's just not true. The bottom line is, as I share this with you today, every religious thing's going to rise up in you. Some of you might hate me. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to speak the truth in love. And the truth is, there was total purpose for where we're at. I don't want to get off point. Let me stay right here. So what happened was Gay talked about the law of love, which is what the New Testament, this new covenant, that is our part. Once God got rid of the law, which I'm going to show you the scripture. In fact, it was prophesied by Jeremiah before it ever was thrown up into Hebrews. This whole, God was tired of the old contract because it was not working. So He says He's going to start a new one. But here's what I want you to know. What happened Wednesday night, what happened was Gay was talking, but then all of a sudden her love shifted and she began to share, rightly so, about how her heart's desire is to love everybody and all these people that need Jesus, right? So it's not about hammering different sects of well, not sex, there you go. I was saying S-E-C-T, but it could be S-E-X because that's kind of where people are hung up right now, and you know, whatever sex thing I get to choose to be. But she did not hammer on that. She hammered on the fact that we need to love. What happened, in again, because of who she is in Jesus, and because of what she is in Jesus, she told me I'm going to talk about sin, she did not. Oh, she did. She, in fact, she even asked a question. well, what is sin? And, you know, people gave their answers and stuff. But then she began to even cry over people whose lives are hurting, and she's just wanting to hold them. And even though they don't know what their sexuality is, or they don't know, you know, they don't know how mean they are or whatever. So let me get right back here on this. So I put why, because she was doing her part in the New Testament covenant contract. And that is believing in Jesus and loving others. That's it. That's our part of the contract. And I'm going to show it to you. And I told you about in Eden, all it was, you don't eat the fruit. Under the law, if you perfectly obeyed it, you'd get to be blessed and live. But what about this new grace covenant, this new covenant that we're in, that when Christ died, then the covenant changed? What about that? Since it's based entirely on God's undeserved favor towards us and not on our own ability to keep the law, what's our part? That's fair, right? What's my part? And forever, we've been, you know, just back and forth with doing and what do I should do, and I'm just going to show you very clearly, very, very clearly. I think it's very clear. Jeremiah again prophesied it. The terms of this new covenant. Instead of putting the Jeremiah one and the Hebrew one, I'm using the Hebrew one and showing you where the Jeremiah part comes in. In other words, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, but everybody wants to argue that's not the point, wrote this, and I'll show you where it comes in. So the writer of Hebrews says, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, which was under the law of Moses, for he's the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. What are the better promises than from the law? Holy smoke, man, that you're declared righteous, that your sins are no longer around. What's the better promises? The better promises is if you simply believe, your life's going to be awesome. And even there's stuff even incorporated in that. You get stuff out of that too. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. God knew this, which is why it needed to be replaced. But when God found fault with the people, he said, and here it comes. This is an identical quote straight out of Jeremiah 31, 30 through 34. So you're talking 800 years earlier, it was prophesied. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant meaning new contract. The other contract's ripped up. You got a new contract. Now, you can't buy a car on an old contract, right? So, the day's coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. And they didn't remain faithful to that covenant, so I'm going to turn my back on them. So I did turn my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I'm going to make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. They will no longer be written on paper. They will be written in his people. You get it. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors. Now, this is so weird if you don't really look at it. If you take time to look at it, you'll get it. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. By the way, that word know is gnostic, which is the same as where the word says that Joseph knew not Mary. In other words, he didn't have intimate relationships with her. That's what this word is, because the other next know is not that. Just watch. So it says, you're not going to have to tell them you should intimately know the Lord, because everybody, from the least to the greatest, will know. That's a different word. Know being have knowledge of because of what they see. Me already. So they'll know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. He prophesied that in Jeremiah. Writer of Hebrews. Again, I think Paul just repeated it. So, God is clear that he is done with the old covenant. So be sure that what he writes on our hearts is not the Ten Commandments. So what is the law that he'll write on our hearts? Again, the law of love. Here's scripture. Jesus said this. I didn't. Or maybe it's not there. There it is. So now I'm giving you, Jesus speaking, a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. How did it say it in the Old Testament prior to this whole new covenant? How did it say it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the Old Testament. That's in the Old Covenant. But watch. In this new covenant, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said it. I didn't come to abolish, I came to fulfill. He's the King of love. But watch, he even makes it very clear. Here we go to this next scripture. Watch this. But when the Pharisees, a little scenario here, Pharisees are always trying to mess Jesus up, and he's always putting it in their face kindly. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced, he being Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. Mm-hmm. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second that is equally as important is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So, here's what I want you to see. In the Old Testament, oh, we know the Ten Commandments, and we'll show them here in a second. But I just want you to know there were 613 laws that you had to perfectly obey. 613. And we couldn't even do the Big Ten. But here's what I want you to see. What Jesus just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every bit of that is incorporated in these Ten Commandments. Watch this. Here's the first five, because we didn't want to scrunch them all together so you couldn't see them. I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. What does that speak of? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he had to step it up. And you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of it. You know what's funny about the Ten Commandments? As much as people are all interested in them, I don't know anybody ever that knows all of them. I have never met anybody that has memorized it. I just think that's a Holy Spirit thing. I think he blocks our brain from trying to use that. You shall make no idols in form of anything, which remember last week when we talked about it, they said, we can do it, we will do it because we are able to perform it. And then they made a snake, a cow, not a day later. The third one, you will not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The fourth one, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's right there. Those four are all about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your spirit. Now watch this. These next ones are about your neighbor, even though it doesn't look like it's about your neighbor, because we have been duped to believe that everything's about us, so we've got to fix us, and we've got to fix this, and we've got to fix us. No, ma'am. This whole thing, watch this. This is greatness. Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Next. You shall not murder. That's not about me. That's about the other person. You shall not commit adultery. That's not about me just wanting to have my thing. That's about hurting other people. You better grab this, folks, because I'm going to show you here in the New Testament, and under the New Covenant. You shall not steal. You can't steal. Steal anything. Steal what? Steal. Thievery. See, now it's all heavy. Because now it's like, why? Because you're taking something from somebody else.
Amen.
Oh, wow. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Shut up. Don't tell me I'm racist when I just have an opinion that is opposite of yours. Why? Because it's not about you. Get it. This is about giving false. You're hurting their neighbor. Wow. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, or his property. Covet, want. I want you to notice that really and truly, that's what it's all about. Now watch this. I'm throwing you, I'm running through this sermon, so you're going to get to eat it quick. You'll get to go out and beat the agnostics to the table. Everything. Now I want to stop right there. Listen. In your mind, all that law, you shall not. And I want you to notice what God said in his prophecy from Jeremiah. All these, you shall not in the Old Testament, and then here in the New Testament, you have all these, I will remember their sins no more. Anyway, that's just a little side note. Here's what I want you to see where I'm headed with this. Watch this. Romans, Paul writing to the Romans. He says, owe nothing to anybody except for your obligation to love one another. This entire Jesus walk is about loving other people. And I know if I ask you right now to put in your mind people you do not want to love, you would have a list. I'm telling you, you want to walk in the covenant of the New Testament. It's not about not doing what the Ten Commandments says. It's about doing life for folks. Now watch this. Owe nothing to anybody. Wait, back up, please. No, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's laws. Boom. Now it's down to one. Jesus said down to two, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Here's the truth. You will never love your neighbor like this until you love the Lord like this. And you will never love the Lord until you receive His love. We will never be able to love other people as we're supposed to love until we receive the love of God. You cannot give what you do not have. I would love to give you $1,000, John. I don't have it. But I could proclaim it to you, you know. Watch, this is the most important stuff. For the commandment says, remember, he's throwing straight to the 10. The commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And now he says why. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Well, you know, you just talk about that greasy grace, that sloppy agape. No, ma'am, this is tough right here. It's a whole lot easier to do the law because law is the modification of behavior. New Testament is relationship with Jesus and a life change. Listen, man, I'm real tired of Christians picketing abortion clinics. How about we love the abortion doctor to where maybe he just quits doing them instead of we modify his behavior where he's only doing 3 a month now instead of 20. We've got it wrong. The law can command you to not commit adultery, but it can't make you love your spouse. Do you hear me? That's why the Scripture is so clear what the law was for and is for. Listen, I'm going to say it and make it very clear. The law is perfect. It is good. It is holy. It is absolutely perfect. We're not. Therein lies the problem. So God says, here's the law. I want to show you. You can't do it. Read in the Word. If you read through the Word in all the New Testament, it says that the law was a mirror so that we could see how bad we are. That's why the law existed. And that's why the law still exists. And that's why the law is still part of this whole thing. Because it's there's where we can see where we're at in our doing our terms and conditions with God. It's all about loving folks. Period. End of story. We waste our time in trying to make sure our lives are lined up when the whole time you got people who are hurt. You got people who hurt. Or you're busy trying to figure out if you're good enough to go to heaven. That's done, man. Believe. The law commands us not to murder, but it can't make me not hate. The law commands me not to steal, but it can't make me give. The law commands me not to lie against other people, but it can't make me kind. It commands not to covet, but it can't make me generous. The law is modification of behavior. I said that a while ago. This New Testament covenant that we're under is a life change. The law was written in stone to be read and to be obeyed to a T. The law of love is written on our hearts and is read through the eyes of those we come into contact with. And don't use the excuse of, well, it's just not my personality. I can't tell you times where I've done something that looks pretty goofy because of my personality. And people, oh, I couldn't do that. Stop it. I know people who have no personality that love people. And they say, why do you think the Word says, we're not going to have to teach them. They're going to see it in us. How many times have Gay and I had people walk up to us and ask, knowing that we're believers, some of them that they weren't believers, they didn't even know it was Jesus. It's like, why are y'all so happy? They just know. And I told you the story of the guy in Sri Lanka when we were over in Sri Lanka. I was just kind to him, man. I couldn't wear my chaplain hat over there. I was wearing my critical incident stress management hat. I couldn't talk about Jesus. I couldn't talk about nothing. And he was our driver, and we just went everywhere together. And I was just kind to him. Kind meaning I tipped him, man. I actually would tip him money, oh, Christians. The old running joke in the Assemblies of God where I was the Assemblies of God people wouldn't break the Ten Commandments nor a $10 bill. That was because they would just, Gabe, you can ask my wife, at college, when we were working at the college, we would go behind the students and tip the tables because they didn't leave money. They didn't tip them. Or they'd leave some stupid card that says, you need to know Jesus. Here's my tip, you need to know Jesus. Well, here's my tip, tip! Good night, man. That speaks volumes to people. And I'm serious. And it's as simple as that. So we're over there, and I'm giving him money. I'm tipping him. And we went out to, there was about 15 of us, and he, every time he would say, man, why are you being so kind? And I would say, because of the God that I serve. Amen. That's all, because of the God, because that's the only thing I could get away with, because of the God that I serve. And so we would go here and we would go there, and he was really drawn to me. In fact, if you ever see it on Facebook, some of those pictures from Sri Lanka in the boat, he's the guy with the blue shirt on and the silver hair. He was the interpreter too. And he was a Buddhist, man. That's another crazy thing. Just so you know, those are really poor countries. In fact, Sri Lanka, the average wage for a day is $2. When we went to India, the average wage for a day was 75 cents. But anyway, but they have these little Buddhist things set up where you can drive by, put your money in it, and drive off. And nobody steals it. Good Lord, man. You come over here, they're stealing our plants that we planted for Leah Van Zandt's Community Life Center. You know what I'm saying? So maybe Buddhists got something. At least they don't steal. They didn't break one of them. So I told the people, I'm like, man, we keep going places, and he sits out in the car, and we go in and eat. And I said, let's invite him in. Oh, yeah, we should have thought about that. So we invite him in to eat. He's sitting next to me, and we all have our forks and knives because we're Americans, right? He's there, and he's got this fork, and he looks like a child wanting to eat. So with our experience from India, I knew he's more comfortable eating with his hands. Because, by the way, if you ever go to India outside of tourist areas, you eat with your hands. And you only eat with one hand, John. I had to tell that John, we're over there. John's eating with two hands. One hand is to clean yourself after you go to the bathroom. In their culture, the other one, both his hands were clean. I get it, John. Pick a hand. Pick a hand. Left hand, just pick a hand. And he did. And he ate. Man, he ate. It's a whole different story, but he did. He ate that local food, and they would keep. And that's another thing. If you empty your, I wouldn't even a plate. If you empty your banana leaf, they're going to dump more food on there. And I warned him, but he didn't care. He like let him 15 times. He's still full. He's got a hollow leg from when he was in Vietnam. That's what I can figure out. Yeah, exactly. That's what he would say too. Are you going to eat that? No, go ahead. Here's some more worm eyes. You eat them. So we invite this man to the meal. And he's very uncomfortable. So I looked to him and I said to him, would it offend you if I ate with my hands? And he looks at me and goes, no, sir. And I said, thank you. So I started eating with my hands. Well, he set the fork down. He started eating with his hands. Well, pretty soon everybody at the table is eating with hands. You know, because, oh, man. Anyway, so we're all finished. We've been there for, 3 weeks, I think. All finished. Been there about 3 weeks. And they're taking us back to the airport. It just so happened that my flight was later than anybody else's, so he had to take me back to the airport by himself. So we're going, we're getting there. He's talking to me. You've been so kind, thank you. You know, blah, 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 blah. I get out. I hand him a $20 bill, which is 10 days' wage in Sri Lanka. And I said, thank you. And I grabbed my bags, and I headed towards the airport. And he said, Steve. He called me by my name because I like that. I said, yeah. He goes, just want to tell you, thank you for being kind. Thank you for giving me this. And I said, he said, why'd you do that? I said, because of the God that I serve. And I took three more steps, and he says, who is the God that you serve? Oh, no. And I turned back, and he was about as far as from me and the gay, and I'm fixing to get on an airplane and be out of the country. And I said, Jesus. And I went, and got on the plane, hoping that the people that deployed me didn't know that I actually used his name. I say all that whole story not to make me look sweet and good, because the truth is I'm not sweet and good, but Jesus is. I tell you that story because that's what life is. We need to be, that needs to be our plan. So let me get back on this. So I said that the law of love is, okay. Let me say this again. The law was written in stone to read and be obeyed to a T. The law of love is written on our hearts and is read through the eyes of those that we come into contact with. If you've read the book that I've written, I talk about that realm of influence. And I do this because I vision Pigpen, you know, that little dust cloud he's got. That's our realm of influence, although hopefully it's not dirty. You know, always not dust cloud, but we all have a realm of influence. Some of my realm of influence happen to be I'm running in when you're running out. But by the same token, dude, I can't throw hay. You get what I'm saying? Your tractor or something breaks down. I don't have nothing there. You have a realm of influence I could never influence. You know, true, you bring people to church and stuff. Yes, that's cool. But you get what I'm saying? There, your life, areas of your life, there. Only you can do this. But the enemy has so convinced us otherwise. Now watch this. When we experience God's undeserved love and grace in our lives, we fall head over heels in love with Him. You really do. For all the years that I was doing what I'm telling y'all not to do, all the years that I hated me, that I couldn't line up with what I was supposed to be, that I've told you a billion times because it's true. When I would leave a church service feeling worse than when I came in, that's why I tell you all the time, if you ever don't go to that church, man, including this one if that's the way. If you feel worse leaving than when you came in, stop it. Go somewhere else. But that whole scenario, I was there. That was me. I was the self-hatred guy. Look up the word in the dictionary. There was Steve Van Zandt's face. Until I finally realized the depth of the love that He has for me and what He's... It's overwhelming. And when that becomes so overwhelming, you can't help but love other people. You just can't help it. You can't stop it. And even when you want to talk about sin, you can't do it because you're locked, because you're full of love. And with that love relationship alive, love leaks out of us. The new covenant is about intimate relationship with Jesus. And it's from that closeness with Him that the law of love flows to other people. But we don't get that closeness with Him if we think that He's not for us, but against us. You have to believe. And look, watch. This is the truth. So here's my last thoughts. So what's my part in this new covenant? To believe in Jesus and to love other people. And it has to happen in that order. Listen to me. It has to happen in that order. You have to believe in Jesus before you can ever love other people. I guess I'll just, maybe just a second, I'll throw scripture up. Let me finish this point, though. So believe in Jesus and love other people. It happens in that order. Why? Because you'll never really love until you believe that you are loved. Until you believe you've been completely forgiven of your sins, until you believe the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all the junk in you. I didn't write junk on here. I wrote crud. I didn't say it. Well, I just said it, so never mind. And until you really believe the truth of John 3:16 that you quote all the time, but you don't believe. For God so over the top loved the cosmos, the world, that's everybody. Everybody you hate, everybody you're racist, you're prejudiced, you're whatever. Everybody, for God so over the top loved the cosmos that He gave His only Son, that whoever believe in Him won't die, but will have your ticket to heaven and much more. 1 Peter, right here. This is scripture to back up what I'm saying. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. The truth. It's the truth. I told you last week, grace and truth are the same, one and the same. You don't have to. I tell you, I even said that last week. I had people, man, I love you teaching grace, but man, you still got to teach the truth. That is the truth. Again, grace is not a doctrine. His name is Jesus. So you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. Obeyed, by the word, that word obey doesn't mean obey like we think of obey. That mean it means that you wrap your brain around it and finally get it and do it. I don't know how else to explain it. So now what? Now that you've been cleansed from, now that you see that you've been cleansed from your sin, now that you understand that your righteousness is in Jesus and not you, now you must show honest to goodness, love, sincere. I've told you what that word means in the original language. They used to, when a pot would break, a little hairline crack, they could put wax in it. That word means no wax. They put a little wax in it so it would look like there was no faults to it at all, because the wax would cover it up perfectly. But it wasn't sincere. So this, you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters, which, by the way, don't use that as a cop-out. What I mean by that is, well, yeah, that's my fellow Christians. Well, number one, we don't do too good with that anyway, because let's be really honest, you don't think Episcopalian's a Christian anyway, right? Come on. But that in that literally means, now look what it says, to each other as brothers and sisters. In other words, like or not, they are your brothers and sisters. That's what I love about Jesus. I didn't get to pick my sisters, man. I had two sisters. I didn't get to pick them. But here, God chose us. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. So that now we're brothers and sisters. I can't not like you, John, as much as I want to. As much as I just want to. You ate all my food in India and you didn't even apologize. I'm just bitter and broken. You know what's so cool about him? He was in Vietnam and he has a Vietnam wound. I had no idea. When we were in India, he was my roommate, and when he took his pants off, he's got like half a leg. And I said, and I didn't have a clue because I didn't even know he was over there. I said, what happened there? And, you know, I thought he was going to say, well, I don't know, lawnmower or whatever. And yeah, it was amazing because I think that's where all the food goes. Because I would check it every night to see if it was full. You know, that leg was halfway in it. It never quite filled. All right, sorry, Mrs. Van Zandt, I'm on it. I get it. Now, look at this. Love each other deeply. Love each other deeply, deeply. You can fake love, but you can't fake deep love. Oh, man. That's greatness. So, go to that next scripture. This will be my finale scripture here. Paul's writing to the Galatian church. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. What does that mean? I shared that last week. The law gives sin its power. When you focus constantly on how bad you are, you get it. We've only got 24/7, ladies and gentlemen. And if it's all about me trying to somehow pull my bootstraps up to get where I can get where God will like me, then I'm there's people around me that are dying, man. So don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. There's more. For the whole law can be summed up, there it is again, in this one command. Love your neighbors yourself. Wow. And I say wow because there's nothing else to do to line up yourself to make sure you're this perfect walking. No, because here's what happens. If we don't believe everything that Christ did for us, then we will never receive the love that He has for us. I recognize this without even knowing I recognize this years ago. And again, if you've read my book, it's when I really came to know God again. I was just so fascinated after I was so desperate. I'm like, God, I need your help. I need your help. And He brought help. And I was ready for the punishment phase, ready to grab my ankles and let Him whip me, whatever it was going to be, man. I deserved it. I get it. Okay, do the punishment. And there was never punishment. I didn't know the word that says the penalty of our sins. He took to the cross. I didn't know it. But I was so fascinated with this God figure that loved me more than anybody else could, yet knew me better than anybody else does. That still is fascinating to me. But as I study the Word more, the longer I study the Word, the more truth becomes evidence. Because what happens is, if we don't believe this, we will always be wondering if we're going to make it to heaven or not. If we don't believe this deep love of Jesus, we'll never be comfortable in His presence. You won't go to His presence. The Word says so clearly in Hebrews, come on, you go boldly to the throne. Why? Because Christ did it all. You don't have to, He already knows that you were dumb. He did it all. So we can go boldly. Why? And it's not arrogance. It's like, hey, thank you for doing what you did. I am not perfect, but you are. Man, thank you for that, God. I messed up again, and I know you know, and I'm coming in here boldly because I boldly know that you love me and that you died for me. You didn't just become crippled for me. And I'm here to say I love you, and though I don't feel like I can tell you I love you, but yet I know I can shout from the rooftops how much you love me, and that's just kind of hard. So if we don't believe, we don't be comfortable in His presence. If we don't believe, when we fail, we'll believe that we're not right with God and that our fellowship with Him is cut off. Did that ever happen to you? If you have kids, did you, when your kids did something dumb, did you just shut them off and shun them? And no, good Lord, no. You love your kids. How much more God? But we don't believe He loves us. And if we don't believe that we're totally loved and forgiven, here's the most important point. If we don't believe that we're totally loved and forgiven, our time and energy is spent on us instead of on other people. I'm so comfortable in my belief system knowing that He loves me so much, I don't have to spend a second of a day on that. Oh, there's times all throughout the day where I'm like, love you, God. Know you love me. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But man, it frees you to do what your part of the covenant is. And your part of the covenant has nothing to do with you. Once again, how many times have I said it? Focus on Him, not you. Be Jesus conscious, not self-conscious. Be Jesus conscious, not sin conscious. Be Jesus conscious, not self-righteous. And here it is again. Once you really get into that, then you really got to fulfill the term. That's why James, everybody thinks James was so, you got people who do teach the grace that think James messed up. He didn't mess up. When he said, faith without works is dead, he's talking about the works that I'm talking about. Because what else did he say in those chapters, man? Read it. He's talking about people. Paul, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, people. Though I have the tongues of men and angels, I have not love. I'm just noise. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbals, how your King James says it. So, I'm going to read this because I wrote it like a book. And then I'm done. Unbelief in His finished work robs us of the ability to receive His love and stops us in our tracks to fulfill the terms and conditions of our contract, which is to believe in Jesus and to love other people. Amen. Amen.
If you finish reading Romans chapter 8, Steve had us verses 8 through 11. I just want to read verse 14 because it talks about the things that are not good and the things that are good. And what I was talking about Wednesday night is how the world has defined what sin is. And it's because they don't know the Word. And they're telling you that things are okay that aren't. And they're going to be poisonous to you. They're going to hurt you. But verse 14 says, instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. Anybody in here tired of wasting time? Do you just feel like sometimes you've just wasted so much time when you could have been loving God and loving one another and being loved? And that's what he's saying. Don't waste your time on who you are. Concentrate in who he is. I want you to stand with me this morning, and I want to share something with you that we went over in Sunday school again. Mickey had reminded us of this morning. Here's a little phrase that I think will help you. Does this have eternal value? When you're struggling with something, does this have eternal value? Is that going to be in heaven? Am I going to need to know my gender in heaven? Nope. Am I going to need to know about what sex is best in heaven? Nope. Am I going to need to know what political party? No. But what's going to have eternal value is how I treat people of a different political party. How I love people who are caught up in the things of the world. That's what's going to be found in heaven. And you know what's in heaven? Love, because God is love. So my job and your job is to focus on things where we love other people. Because when you love other people, you're loving Him because He's in them. And you're obeying the commandments. That's it. They're wrapped up in one thing. You know, when you're freaked out today about, you know, North Korea, does that have eternal value? No. I meant what I said. There is no plan B with God. You don't have to figure it out because He's not going to fail. I got plan A, and He's going to prevail. Amen? Yeah. Let's just declare together, Lord, we just trust You today. Lord, we believe in You today. Lord, we just thank You today. God, keep my mind on You. Keep my mind focused on You, Lord, so that I can be kept in perfect peace the way Your word says. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, You are loved. You are accepted, You are forgiven, and You need to share it and valued. If you haven't seen the hallways, you need to see them. We still need VBS workers. We're starting to feed the kids summer feeding this week. So if you want to get on board with any of those projects, there's sign-ups in the foyer, and you're going to get a phone call. So don't sign up unless you mean it. Amen?
Put your right phone number.
Yeah, give us.